Good morning. So let's pray. We just invite you more and more, Holy Spirit, to take control over our hearts, over our minds, Lord. Father, I thank you that you're invading this place with your love, Lord. We just give everything to you in a fresh way this morning. We fix our attention on you because you're a holy God and you are the lover of our soul, Lord. And we just love you this morning. We love on you this morning, God. We just fix our full attention on you, God, in every way. You deserve our attention, Lord. You deserve our time, Lord. You deserve all of who we are, Lord. And it never gets old, God, because we were created, Lord, to live so intimate with you. And we just pray for a fresh sweeping of this place. We plead the blood of Jesus over this place, Lord. We just bind any distraction. We bind any distraction from the evil one. Lord, we thank you that he's bound and cast out of this place, Lord, that this is a place where you're the reigning authority, God. And we open up our hearts to you, Lord. We take a moment just to open ourselves, open our minds, open our hearts, and just open it up to a fresh revelation, Lord, of love. And we thank you for what you're going to do, Holy Spirit. Just take complete control. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I was praying about what to share today, and had a change of course last night. I felt love. And just to bring everything back to love, and some of it's simple, but I know that Holy Spirit's going to speak to us in a fresh way today. He's going to draw us into a deeper realm of his love. So I'm excited about that. And so I guess I'll title this Andrew, Pursue Love. So we were created because of love. We were created to be loved, and we were created to love. And so I want us to declare something out of our mouths. If I don't see your mouth moving, I'm going to bring this microphone to you, Joe Hay. Because there's power in our decree. Do we know there's power in the things we speak? There's authority in that. So I want you to repeat after me with fervor. I was created for love. I was created for love. I can love God the way I was created to. I can love God the way I was created to. I can love my neighbor the way Jesus loved me. I can love my neighbor the way Jesus loved me. So we know, you can pull up the video clip, Jordan. We know the great commandment that we see in the New Testament where Jesus said, we shall love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. But the Lord was challenging me as are we caught up sometimes in striving to love God in a way that's actually worldly love instead of pursuing the kind of love that he clearly defines in his scripture? And he took me on this journey of looking, and I'm going to share some from the Hebrew and the Greek, but it was so much fun just to see that there's so many facets to his love. There's specific meaning behind love as it's referenced in the scripture. And I believe that, you know, this morning we can be refreshed and renewed to truly love God, to truly love our neighbor in the way that scripture defines love, not in a worldly way, not in a fleshly way, not in what we think maybe love is, but truly how God defines it, because that's what we were created to do. And so I'm going to play a semi-short video clip by Brother Derek Prince. Who's heard of Derek Prince? Anyone? Amazing. He passed away in 2003, but amazing man of God and scholar of the Bible, and we have some books up in the library by him. But I was very struck by this video, and after that, I'm going to share a little bit more. It's on? Okay. So just to capture the highlights, you know, love is not a choice. It's commanded. It's not a recommendation. He said, you can revolutionize a whole situation by demonstrating the love of God. And how are we supposed to love? How did Jesus love? Well, it's not a self-seeking or self-gratifying love. It's a giving love. It's a love that lays down one's life for others. If we love one another this way, the world will see Jesus. Jesus said that by this, the world will know that you are my disciples. And they may not all be converted, but they will all be confronted by that testimony if we love one another. If we don't love God or one another, we're being disobedient. but God's made it possible. It's what we were created to do. And finally, and you can pull up the PowerPoint, Jordan, love is not just an emotion, it's a decision. Psalm 18:1, he mentioned, David said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. And he talked about that word for love, which we'll see in the Hebrew. It comes from the gut. You're moved by that love. I'm gonna love you. You know, it's a decision. And the same word for love was actually used in the book of Mark, where Jesus says he was moved with compassion to heal a leper, and other times he was moved with compassion. That same word comes from the gut, actually the bowels. That, you know, you are moved by it. And have you truly decided? Have I truly decided, or re-decided, that I will love the Lord? Lord, you have my total commitment. And I think sometimes, you know, for me, I'm waiting to feel the feelings, maybe in a worship song I like, or, you know, or a film I'm watching or something, to feel that, oh, Lord, I love you. But it's actually, it's a decision that we make. So the good news is we don't have to wait to feel like, oh, I really love the Lord. It's a decision. It's a gut. It's a yes, this is what I'm going to do. And emotions may come. I mean, the Lord touches every aspect of us, our body, our emotions, our mind. But first, it's a decision. And if, you know, you may remember when you were moved to receive salvation. I remember I was at Alive, or well, yeah, I was at a concert, and the speaker was speaking about the gospel. And I, you know, I'm the daughter of a minister, so I'd heard about Jesus, I'd heard about the scripture, but it was like, I felt it in my gut, and it wasn't just the feelings, but it was that, wow, yes, the Lord is drawing me. I don't understand this with my mind, but I'm going to make a decision to follow Jesus. And it's the Spirit of God, but it's me agreeing with that and deciding to follow Jesus. And after that, you know, the loving feelings, the being wrecked by God, the emotions came, but they weren't there right then. And I think a lot of times we're waiting for the emotions and saying, well, I'm not really feeling like I love God or loving God, but just decide every day, Lord, I wake up, I'm going to decide to love you, you know, because you're good and because you did everything for me. So he talks about the individual decision that we must make, but then there's also a corporate decision we must make to love one another as Jesus loved us. So I didn't plan on creating a PowerPoint. I'm not trying to be uber academic here, but as I was exploring, I felt God was saying, look up, you know, the some of the meanings behind the word love in these scriptures that I'm going to share. And I was so blown away, just in a fresh way. I don't know if this is new for anybody else in here, but it was really remarkable. So I really wanted to give it justice by displaying them on slides. So, and also, there's different meanings behind different words for love in the scripture. And it just magnifies just the different dimensions of his love for us, and the different dimensions of love that we can walk in. So the first is agape. Who's heard of agape? That's probably most commonly. So let's look at that. This is called out of one's heart by the preciousness of the object love. It's a love of esteem. It has the idea of prizing. It speaks of unconditional love. It's the noblest word for love in the Greek language. It's not kindled by merit or worth of its object, but it originates in its own God-given nature, that God is love. It delights in giving. This love keeps on loving even when the loved one is unresponsive, unkind, unlovable, and unworthy. It's unconditional love. Agape love desires only the good of the one loved. It is a consuming passion for the well-being of others. There are only a few known occurrences of this word for love outside of the Bible. It's used approximately 320 times in the New Testament. It's the most frequent use of the word love. And it's used in scriptures to demonstrate God's love for us, but also used in scriptures instructing us how to love. It can refer to, oh, I just said that. Okay, selected references, there's a bunch. And I got a lot of this from Bible Hub. It's if you're interested in exploring some of the Hebrew and the Greek, you can go to Bible Hub and type in a scripture, and there's a lexicon, or you can actually look at a verse, and it breaks down every single word in the Hebrew and Greek. And this isn't so we become a bunch of intellectual heady people, but you know, when you're spending that time in the Word, it can be really fun to see, you know, the different dimensions of what those words mean. So we see agape love in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Matthew 22:37-39, this is just an example. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself," with agape love. We see it also in 1 Thessalonians 3:12. "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you." So we can increase in this agape love, and the Lord can make that happen when we're submitting ourselves to him. So the second one, and these are not all the different, I only picked four, but so you can look up more, but these are some of the more prevalent. So we see phileo. It's a companionable love. This love speaks of affection, fondness, or liking, such as, you know, you might love your mother. It's a love that's called out of one's heart as a response to the pleasure one takes in a person or object. So if you contrast that to agape love, that was, it doesn't matter, you know, what the object of love has done or whether they deserve it. You know, agape is that unconditional love. This is called out of our heart. It's a response to a pleasure that I might take in my husband or my mother. It's a love that responds to kindness, appreciation, or love. It involves giving as well as receiving. Whereas agape, it's a giving love. Giving, giving, giving. This is a giving and receiving. It's a higher love than eros, which I'll get to, because it's our happiness, you and me, me and God, me and my neighbor. It's our happiness rather than just my happiness. This love is called out of one's heart by qualities in another. It's also referred to as brotherly love sometimes. In John 21:15-17, which we're going to get to, phileo love is contrasted with agape love. Here's a couple references. Matthew 10:37. "He who loves his father more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." John 5:20. "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." Revelation 3:19. "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." We love that one. Titus 2:4. Hi. "They can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children." So we see it displayed in a lot of different contexts here, this phileo love, brotherly affection, called forth by it's called out of you by a quality of another or a relationship to another. So third, we see this term for love is used the least frequent of the three that I've referenced. Storge, I guess. Love has its basis in one's own nature. It's a natural affection or natural obligation, natural movement of the soul for husband, wife, child, or dog. That was actually in the... Think of how you love your dog, or if you had one. It's a quiet, abiding feeling within a man that rests on something close to him that he feels good about. Man, you know, it's just that quiet, abiding feeling of love. Natural affection. Only found a few times in the New Testament, can be found as a noun or a verb. In 1 Timothy 3:3, it's actually the negative of this is used. It talks about people being unloving without natural affection. In Romans 12:10, it's compounded with the phileo love, which we just talked about, and it's translated as devoted, kindly affectioned. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So this I wanted to highlight because I think it contrasts worldly love with the love that we're actually called to. And this is eros. This is another Greek word for love. It's actually not found in the Bible. It can be a love of passion, overmastering passion that seizes and absorbs itself into the mind. Now, that's not to say that we see, you know, in Song of Solomon and other places where a passionate love and that's proper and appropriate in the right relationships, but I'm just defining the Greek word, and then I'll get to my point. It can be a love that's an emotional involvement based on body chemistry. This basic idea of love is self-satisfaction. So it's not the giving love. It's not the affection love. It's self-satisfaction. Though eros is directed toward another, it actually has self in mind. For example, I love you because you make me happy. The foundation of this type of love is some which pleases you. If the result being, I don't love you anymore. You know, we hear in society about divorce, well, the love was just gone, or I didn't love the person anymore. I didn't feel the love. So it's basically, well, that characteristic that I fell in love with you for, it's not there anymore, so the reason for loving you isn't there. You can see how this is not actually a biblical love. But you can see how we can get caught up in this type of love, and if, you know, even with the Lord, and if things aren't going our way, it's like you don't feel the love. Well, are we really then loving the Lord with the type of love that we were actually created to love him with? Or are we loving him? Are we caught up in this eros, this self-satisfying love, loving for what we can receive, loving because of his good characteristics, but then if we're not seeing something, that goes away, you know? Eros looks for what it can receive. If it does give, it gives in order to receive. If it fails to get what it wants or expects, bitterness or resentment could develop. So that's another Greek word for love. And finally, I want to go over the last, which is Hebrew, found in the Old Testament. It's ahava. Okay, sure. So the root word of ahava, there's three root words. Two mean to give. This is the word for love in the Hebrew. And the third root word of ahava means to love. So you're saying ahava means I give and I love. The Hebrew word contains a tremendous truth. Giving is fundamental to loving. Giving is fundamental to loving. Not only is love giving, but the actual process of giving develops the very connection between the giver and the receiver. You want to be connected to someone, connected to the Lord. In the Hebrew culture, it's about giving. The process of giving is a vehicle through which the giver is able to give of oneself to another. Giving is a condition that creates and sustains love. Giving is a condition that creates and sustains love. If you're not having love and experiencing it, are you giving? Are you giving? Are you giving yourself to him? Are you giving yourself to others? In Hebrew, without the act of giving, there's no connection that is sustaining. So if we're just loving by feelings or ideas or just in worship, but there's no giving, then it's not going to be a love connection with the Lord or with others that's actually sustainable. True relationships that are meaningful in our lives are those in which mutual giving takes place. To give something in the Hebrew word ahava means to connect with the one you love. So when the scripture refers to the word love, it's actually saying, for instance, John 3:16, Yahweh, God, so loved us that he gave us or connected with us through his only brought forth son, Yeshua, Jesus. So that this ahava love, it's a love that gives, and through that giving, the connection is formed. So it's that relationship, that giving. We receive, we understand what the Lord has given us, and we give back, and that facilitates the connection. That's how we get intimacy with the Lord. So in Joshua 23:11, we see this word ahava. It says, take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. And this is that ahava love. Take diligent heed to yourselves to love, to give yourself to the Lord your God, to connect with the Lord your God. Again, just like we saw in Psalm 18 where David said, I will love you, Lord. It was a decision. In Joshua, we're seeing take diligent heed. You know, make sure you're doing this to love the Lord. Not make sure you're feeling that love and it's passive, but make sure you're doing this, that you're loving him, that you're deciding. So I think is that the rest of those slides? So I wanted to have that backdrop of the different scriptural definitions of love just for a fresh revelation, a fresh understanding in our spirits of how we are to love the Lord, how we are to love one another. And we're just going to go over a few scriptures and talk about a couple of these in context. So 1 Corinthians 14:1a, very simple, pursue love. And then the rest, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. But I'm focused on the pursue love. Pursue it. Pursue love. It's something that we pursue, that we go after. New Living Translation says, let love be your highest goal. And the Aramaic Bible says, run after love. Run after love. And this is that agape love that we talked about. Run after the love that's unconditional, that's giving, that doesn't decide whether the person or God is worthy of love, but loves, just chooses to love because it's in their very nature. Colossians 3:14. Actually, my honey inscribed this on the inside of our wedding ring, of my wedding ring. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. So that's another, it's an action word. It's just like I got dressed this morning. I'm clothing myself with love. I'm waking up in the morning. God, I'm putting on love. I'm choosing love. I love you. I'm setting my affections on you. I'm choosing to love my neighbor. And just like Derek Prince was talking about, not with a self-serving love, but with a self-giving love, with a self-giving love. New American Standard Bible for Colossians 3:14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So just like we even, and this is speaking of agape love, but even as we saw in the Hebrew definition for love, you know, that when there's love, when there's giving, there's connection. That's how connection is facilitated. And so when we're choosing love the way God defines it, the way Jesus loved, then we'll have that bond of unity with our family, with the body, with each other, with God. I wrote here, I need to choose love in faith and not wait for the feelings to come. Choose to put on love. It's not just a fluttery feeling that hits you over the head and you don't have to do anything. It's not passive. So what's an example of how we can put on love? I was just seeking the Lord and I remembered something. When Joe and I, last Sunday or was Sunday before, we were at my grandparents' house. I don't know how we got on the discussion, but I was talking with my grandma and she just starts talking about how she and my grandfather came to be engaged to be married. But even more than that, she talked about they were in school, college together, and they were in a United Methodist group together or something, and grandpa was in school to be a farmer. And his father was a farmer, and that's what he was going to do. And she remembers going to a meeting. She'd never really been super attracted to another man. She was waiting for God's best. And she felt like some, you know, drawing toward him, but she had felt she was going to marry a minister and someone devoted to the work of the Lord. And so she kind of bottled that and, you know, tabled it for, I think, 6 months or even more. It was a while. And then through a series of events, she was talking about how they went to a United Methodist conference and there was a documentary about some champion of the faith. And at that point, he was still going to be a farmer. But she remembers after that, it was somebody who had given their lives to the poor that my grandfather had walked her back. They were just friends at that point, but walked her back to the dorm and he didn't say anything. And then he looked at her and she remembers this. They've been married 66 years. And he said, Jesus gave his life for me. I want to give my life for Jesus. And basically that he was feeling called to the ministry. And she's just crying. My grandma's just crying at this point, just remembering the testimony of how, you know, it wasn't even so much about how the Lord brought them together, because that just came naturally after that. But it was about how she received her call to ministry and how he received his call to ministry and just that remembrance and that thankfulness. And I guess what I'm saying is, you know, part of how we put on love, it's thankfulness, it's remembrance of what the Lord has done. That's one way that we can put on love, because I just saw she was so deeply touched after 66 years, and you know, despite minor squabbles here and there with grandpa, you know, whatever might have been going on that day, she was drawn into that love, and there were emotions that came, but she was just so thankful, and you know, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about just remembrance, you know, remembering, looking back at your old journals, remembering, you know, how you came to Christ, remembering the things that he's done in your life, and being thankful that that's putting on love. That's, it's not just, I'm going to try to love, you know, it's you know, just engaging with the Lord in that way. So 1 John 4:12, talks about how God's love can be perfected in us. Who would like God's love to be perfected in them? My dear, dear friends, this is the message. If God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love one another. No one has seen God ever. But if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. So if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. So he's talking about here, if we, and this is agape love again, if we love one another with that giving, unconditional love, then God will dwell deeply within us and his love will be perfected in us. And it's almost like, you know, a lot of times, and we should focus on our love relationship and connection with Jesus and spending time with God and letting that love connection deepen. And that's absolutely what we should be doing. But here it actually shows if we're loving one another, then God will, it's a promise, God will dwell deeply within us and his love will be perfected. So I think sometimes if something seems to be missing, you know, and you're like, well, I'm spending time with Jesus. Well, you know, how are you loving your neighbor? How are you loving the body? How are you giving? And that can help us understand that. 1 John 4:7-12, very familiar scripture. And I believe in these, I don't know how many verses this is. Love is mentioned 22 times. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And so this indicates that if we're loving with that agape love, then we're born of God, then we're born again. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this is the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. So next I want to go to 1 Peter 1:22. And this talks about actually how we can purify our souls, that area that we're always trying to get purified, our mind, our will, our emotions. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, which means genuine or sincere, unto genuine or sincere love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So this scripture actually talks about a way to purify our souls is through unfeigned, you know, genuine and sincere love for one another. So if you're struggling in the soul realm and, you know, whether it's depression, whether it's resistance to Holy Spirit, whether it's, you know, just being out of it, that one of the ways that we purify our soul is that genuine, sincere love. It's talking about agape here again, that unconditional giving love of the brethren, of each other. That's one way to purify our soul. I don't know if I ever thought about it that way. And that's not why we do it, but it's an added benefit. A couple more scriptures. John 15:12, it says, again, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And God gave everything for us. And so we are to love him in the same way. 1 John 3:18, again speaking of agape love. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So again, talking about how do we love? You know, it's not what we say, but it's what we do. It's our actions. It's how we live. That's how we can love. And finally, I was really struck by the scripture in John 21:15-17, where we see two forms of love, agape and phileo, contrasted. I just want the scripture to wash over you. So when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said this to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. So this scripture came after, you know, Jesus had resurrected, and obviously the connection being that it's called Jesus Restores Peter, that Peter had denied Jesus, if you remember, three times, said he didn't know him when he was being whipped and flogged and accused, that Peter denied knowing him. And so Jesus came and made him breakfast, and then it goes into the scripture. And the thing that's so striking is that if you go back to the beginning in verse 15, when Jesus says, do you love me? He's saying agape love. He's saying, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love? Do you agape me? Do you love me with unconditional love? Are you willing to do anything? Are you desiring my good? Do you love me with a love that endures? And when Peter replied, he said, you know that I love you. Peter uses phileo. He doesn't use agape. He says, Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I phileo you. You know that I love you with a brotherly love. I like you. I appreciate you. I'm fond of you. I feel affection toward you. So Jesus is coming at him saying, do you agape me? And Peter's saying back, yes, I phileo you. I appreciate you, Lord, but Jesus isn't asking that. So then a second time he says, Peter, do you love? Do you agape me? And Peter says again, yes, Lord, you know that I love phileo. I phileo love you. I'm affectionate towards you. And Jesus says, tend my sheep. And the third time Jesus says it to Peter, he actually uses phileo. He says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you phileo love me? Using the term that Peter had used. And Peter was grieved. And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo love you. And I was meditating on that because it's like, wow. You see two versions of love in the same conversation where Jesus is calling Peter to a certain standard of love, that unconditional giving love, that love even when, you know, you've been abandoned by everyone, that love that is the very nature of him. He's calling him to that, and Peter can only respond with the phileo love that, yeah, I feel affection toward you. I love you like a brother. And I believe... it's my commentary, but the last time when Jesus finally uses Peter's version of the word love, phileo, that Peter's grieved. And I think Peter, you know, my interpretation is that he was kind of like, I'm not connecting with the type of love that the Lord is calling me to love. This is all I can really love him with. This is all I can love you with. You know, it could have been that. But I think that God is calling for that agape love. And the other part of it is, you know, do you love me? Then feed my sheep, tend my lambs, you know, disciple others, raise others up in me, be others focused. And if you do love me with that agape love, then that's going to be the fruit is tending my sheep. And so I just wouldn't mind somebody on the keyboard to come up. Is anybody? It doesn't have to be the whole worship team. Thank you. So I just want us to take a moment here and just to, you can come to the front if you want, or you can stay in your seat, but just to connect with the Lord. And just to be completely wrecked by his love in a new way to, if you haven't done it yet or done it recently or you've strayed off the path, just to again decide in a fresh way in your heart that you're going to love the Lord. And if there's any lie that any of us have believed that just, I don't know how to love the Lord, you know, I don't feel the love. I'm not walking in that right now. Or I'm not loving my neighbor. But the Lord just wants to touch us in a deep place today. But he also wants us to make a fresh decision that we're going to love him with that giving love. That's every part of us. That's what he deserves. That's what we were created to do. So I just want to close with a song, whatever Josh has on his heart, and just to have that time to just rededicate if you need to, or refocus on loving the Lord. Not just the affection, although that's wonderful and that's part of it, but it's that giving of yourself, that committing to give of yourself that really will facilitate that connection that the Lord is desiring in a deeper way. So I just thank you, Lord. We just come before you this morning, Lord. And we open our hearts to you. We focus on you. We fix our attention on you. We thank you, Lord, that we are the object of your love, of your unconditional love, Father. That we were created by you, that we were fearfully and wonderfully made, Lord, and put on this earth because of love, because you loved us, God. You loved us before we loved you back. You loved us when we were sinning. You loved us when we continue to sin. You love because that's who you are. And God, we want to be able to give back to you that kind of love, that agape love, Father. Lord, if we've believed a lie that we're not capable of that love or we don't want to love that way, we just, Lord, we just repent this morning. Lord, where we've been resistant to the call to give of ourselves, to give everything, our time, our talent, our gifting, our resources, our affection, our thoughts, our actions, where we've resisted that, Lord, we've been resisting love. And Father, we are created to love. So we just give that over to you, Lord. We just repent, Lord God, if we haven't chosen to love you in that way, if we haven't chosen to and made a decision just to give everything to you, Lord, we just thank you that you give us fresh revelation that that's what we were created to do, and it's fun and it's good. Lord, it's how we were created to live. And Lord, we just open up our hearts to you. We open up our minds, our soul, our emotion, those deep places, Lord, where maybe we've put up a wall or where we've been resistant or where we just said, oh, that's not for me, Lord. We just open up those places and we say, Holy Spirit, take control. We open ourselves to love this morning in a fresh way, Father. Lord, we actively move ourselves, Lord. We move ourselves toward love, toward you. Even if we don't understand it with our mind, we don't have to. Lord, it comes from the gut. It's I'm deciding because you're God, because you did everything for me. I just thank you that this is a holy time, Lord, of connecting with you in a fresh way, of giving ourselves to you in a fresh way, Lord. And Father, where we haven't loved our neighbor, we haven't put others first, Lord, we just repent, Father. Lord, we don't want to be disobedient. And Lord, it's not a fearful thing, it's just a coming into alignment. It's, Lord, where we're resistant and where there's that rub toward loving others, it's just because we're in disobedience, Lord. And Father, if we were to take that step and to love our neighbor, to love the people you put in front of us, to love each other, Lord, to love those, Lord, who are hard to love emotionally, Lord, when we take that step, Lord, then we're in your will, Father. We're where we should be. So I just thank you, Lord, that this morning your love is just washing over us, Lord, and we're just choosing, Lord, in a fresh way, Lord, that the world will see, Lord, you through our love for one another, through our love for you, Jesus. The world will see. Our situations will be changed, Lord God, through love. Father, it all comes back to love, God. And Father, where we've been trying to love you with the eros love, with the love that's self-seeking, Lord, with the love that's self-gratifying, that's the love that, oh, I just want my problem solved or I want to feel good. Lord, that's not the highest call of love, Lord. That's a worldly love. And Father, we just throw that off, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord, for drawing close to us today. Lord, even if we don't feel anything, Father, by faith, we choose to love you. By faith, we say that we are in your love. We're in the center of your love. We just thank you for that, God. Thank you that you're renewing and transforming our minds right now. That you're cleansing our hearts, Lord. If there's any offense, Lord God, that we just give that over to you, because it's not what we were created for, Lord. Just thank you, Father, for doing a deep work, Lord, in us by your Spirit, Lord, and by our agreement, Father. Just thank you, Lord, that we can touch heaven this morning, that we can love you the way that you deserve to be loved, God, right now in this moment, that we're loving on you, God. Just encourage you just to speak out or sing out or whatever to the Lord, just that you love him. Just you love him in a fresh new way. If you said it 1,000 times, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. My heart is set on you. I set my heart on you. I set my mind on you, God. Lord, I choose to love you, Lord, for the rest of my life, Father. I will be dedicated to you. I will be devoted to you, Lord. I love you out of that deepest place, Lord. More than anything else, anyone else, Lord, I love you. I love you, God. I love you. I choose to love you, and I can love you, Lord. And where there's been a lie that I can't, Lord, I can love you. Because that's what I was created for. I can love you, God, with agape love, with unconditional love, with love that doesn't care what's received back. It's just a love because you're God. Holy Spirit, you live on the inside of us, Lord, and you create the way for us to love. There's a grace to love in that way. We don't have to drum it up. We don't have to be afraid that we're going to fail because you have the grace already for us to love in this way. We just have to choose it, Lord. So I just thank you, Father, you're touching us, Lord. You've changed us, Lord, that we choose to change, Lord, and we choose to love you, Lord, this morning. Just thank you, Lord. Just as we close, if you want to stay in that place with the Lord, he's worthy, he's moving, he's touching, he's healing. Even deep issues that we didn't know were there, he's healing it as we reach out to him. He promises that as we reach out to him, that he'll be right there. So you can just stay in this place with the Lord, or you can go, but just ask that you would be sensitive of others who may still be receiving.